What's up, people of faith? Yeah, you are here. You are here. I promise to, especially for those of you that are at home, I promise not to make too many jokes about you people at home. I'm going to be nice to you today. I'm going to be nice. You guys believe that?
No.
Nope, I didn't think you would. Obviously, let me speak to kind of where we are as a church and as a culture and everything that's happening. I think two things are happening today that I think are so significant. I believe there are pastors all across our nation that are speaking the same things, which I think is very good to remember the promises of God, and I think those are being shared. Those scriptures are going to be very similar, right? There's only so many times we can keep quoting 2 Timothy 1:7, right? And so that is going to be happening a lot. There's a reason there's do not fear 365 times in the Bible, right? For every single day, except for this year, we need an extra day. So grab one of the other 365 for that extra February 29th day, which some people have feared February 29th is when some of this started in the U.S. But anyway, forget you, leap year, all right? So that's happening. But also, more specific, today is a day of prayer. We're not just because our president said so, but because people are adjusting. We are in the same boat. People are in similar circumstances. There are similar fears. And there's two dangers today. Two dangers that I want us to think about. Number one, we can't underreact. Right? We can't pretend we're in Monroe County and so everything's good, which I think we have a tendency to do. We have a tendency to go like, not my world. When the headlines hit home, it's a lot differently. And some of us, we've experienced that, right? We've experienced when things have happened and we've watched it on the news and we thought, that's tragic, but thank God it's not happening here. We thought about those things. So we can't underreact. We can't pretend something's not happening and we can't just go on as usual. We can't underreact. We can't overreact because we're seeing a culture that's overreacting, right? Charmin is loving our overreaction, right? So we can't overreact. There has to be this balance of how do we respond? And in the end of the day, it's not how do we respond, but what does Jesus say about responding? Like, what do we do in these moments where all of us are on different pages? And I'm guilty. I'm guilty of underreacting this week. I'm guilty of going, this world's gone mad. And it has. I'm not diminishing that there are people that are crazy out there. Right? This is the weatherman approach. It's like, there's a blizzard coming. Everybody rush to the store. 20% chance of blizzard. But we're talking about the 20%, not the 80% chance of sun. Right? There's this understanding, this balance. And so we have to be careful. We have to use wisdom and discernment and say, God, where are you in the middle of all this? And hear this today. God is not taken back by what is happening. You and I might be. You and I might be upset because things are canceled. Like we're living in some of the non-sporting people, you're like, oh, finally, right? And the sporting people are like, God, where are you? You know? And every homeschool mom's like, now what, parents? Now what? You got 2 weeks where you're going to be relying on me, right? Nope, everybody's going to the Williamsons. That's my approach. We can't overreact. We can't underreact. We have to use wisdom. So let's look at what the Bible says. And we're going to spend some time praying. First, I want us to know that it's important. This is very important. I'm not making any decisions today, not knowing what's going to happen in the future. Okay? Don't overreact by making long-term and permanent decisions today. Like, so for us as a church, you know, obviously, we've looked to March 22nd as a big weekend for us. You know, when we're talking about our building and talking about what we feel like God wants us to do here, we're not making any decisions about next weekend, okay? Here's the decisions we're making right now. The decisions we're making right now is that this week, as a church, we're going to be open. That there's going to be times during the day that you can come and you can pray. The lights are going to be on. Music's going to be playing. There's going to be moments where you come and maybe you bring your kids, and there's going to be meals people we're partnering with to have food here. And this is going to be a moment where it's going to be open. You can do homework here. You can get on Google Classroom, and you can communicate with teachers and all these things. This is going to be open for that. There's going to be people that need to come just to get out of the house. You're like, it's Tuesday. I need to get out of the house. We're open for that, okay? So we're making these decisions based on right now, right? I can't tell you next week if we'll gather here, right? At some point, it may be mandated that we can't. It could also be Friday, and it all is okay, right? So I'm not making long-term decisions of like, this is canceled, that's canceled. We're done until the end of April, okay? And I encourage you to do the same. Don't make long-term decisions based on a current frantic place that you're living, our culture's living in right now. First and foremost, okay? Don't get crazy. Don't get crazy, okay? Jesus told this to the disciples. You guys, you're not of this world. This is not your home. He said, don't be conformed to this world. Do not live like those who have no hope. Jesus was saying these promises to remind us, to encourage us, like, guys, don't go crazy, okay? Which if I said this to us 2 weeks ago, you'd be like, we're not of this world, not to be conformed to the world. Don't live like people without hope. But something happens to us when we go through what we go through. Something happens to us when our world gets rocked, when things are taken away from us and we don't understand and we don't know who to fight and we don't know who to blame and we don't have to call the governor and all of these things and we don't know, right? Who is in control? Just know this. God is still in control. He's still in control. He's still on the throne. He still saves. He still restores. He still heals. Okay? So again, these are his promises. We have to hold on to that. There's three things real quick this morning. Again, I don't think any of these things will shock you. We live by faith, not by fear. This is what Jesus said. Jesus said, I'm leaving you with a gift. Here's the gift. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So do not be troubled or afraid. He says, listen, in an hour where we're living, as the church, we have to be men and women of faith and not of fear. What you say matters. What you post matters. What you say to a coworker matters. What you are saying to your kids matters. Because ultimately, it is reflecting whether you're a person of faith or a person of fear. And I know right now in this room, some of you are like, I'm here. I'm somewhat a person of faith. Right? I'm here. I'm talking to all of us because there's going to be moments where it's like this, okay? I'm not telling you you shouldn't watch the news, but don't watch the news, right? Limits what you're listening to. Take this moment where you're in God's Word. Take this moment where you're doing a devotion on fear. Take this moment where you're doing a devotion on what is God's promises. Take this moment where you are leaning into what God is saying. Because listen, in this moment where voices are loud, it's easy to drown out the voice of the Lord and to hear fear, okay? So in this moment, the loudest voice wins, right? In this moment where Joshua is coming back and fear was with the Israelites, fear with the report. Guys, we've gone in. The Lord has promised that this is ours, but there are giants in the land. There are huge people. And the Bible says the Israelites are murmuring. They're complaining. And Joshua stands up and goes, guys, be quiet. You're so loud. I can no longer hear the Lord. In this moment, you have to quiet yourself. Quiet yourself. Get into a place where there's no outside voices and you say, Lord, what are you saying? What are you saying? God, you want us to be a people of faith. God, your word from Paul to Timothy is, I've not given you a spirit of fear, a spirit of love, power, and sound mind. We know this passage. What is it? I'm to be a person of love. I'm to be a person that walks in power, and I'm to have clarity or common sense. Okay? What they're telling us is nothing new. Wash your hands, right? If you're sick, don't leave. Oh, my mind is blown. My mind is blown. You're coughing, don't leave. You have a temperature, stay at home, right? That's why I try to say, as always, we have stations where you can clean those hands, right? Again, God, power, love, sound mind. Use wisdom in this moment, all right? Listen, he says, we're a person of faith, but we're also a people of wisdom. In fact, Proverbs says this real clear, right? In the middle of all of this craziness, use wisdom. For zealousness without wisdom is stupidity, is what Proverbs says. Zealousness, being zealous, passionate, without using wisdom is stupidity. Okay, use wisdom. Wherever it is that you're going, use wisdom. Because especially in our culture right now, I saw Brent cough, you know, during service. I'm like, I know he's singing, but he coughs and people are like, I told the guys in the back, cough and see how many people get whiplash. Right? It's like all of a sudden we're walking through Schnucks, disappointed that there's no toilet paper and hearing everybody cough. Right? It's like radar. Listen, we're people of faith. Man. Second thing is, in this hour we are to be sacrificial, not selfish. Okay, listen, all throughout the Bible, first century church, they shared everything. They shared everything. This is an hour, not where we're just saying we're people of faith, not where we're just people saying do not fear, but we're being people who share and are sacrificial with our time, with our resources. You're seeing big companies step up and say, listen, however we can help, from Chick-fil-A to McAllister's to all these organizations to Spectrum offering free Wi-Fi. I mean, all of these things people don't have to do. Yet in this moment, they're being sacrificial and not selfish. Now, there are people that are being selfish. Okay? I mean, we can talk about those all day long, right? There are scientists and there's doctors and there's people out there going, cha-ching. Let's get a vaccine to this thing and cha-ching. Someone's going to make some money. There are people that are being selfish. Jesus is saying, this is not the hour for selfishness. This is the hour of opening your homes, of sacrificing. This is the hour where you still do what you need to do. Okay? This is what Paul told the Philippian church. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others better than yourselves. Again, 2 weeks ago, this passage is like, yeah, I got to be a good neighbor. No. How are we thinking about other people in this moment? Will there always be people that try to take advantage? Absolutely. This is not what we're saying. We're saying you have a responsibility. We have a responsibility as a church, as the bride of Christ, as people that say we believe in Jesus. We have an opportunity in this moment to be sacrificial. Again, when Paul's talking to the Philippian church, people are dying. People are dying in Philippi. Men and women are giving of their lives because of the gospel. And Paul is saying to the church, don't be selfish in this hour. In the church, he's saying, listen, now is not a time to think about yourself. Now is a time to think about other people. In times of crisis, in times where we lose control, this is an opportunity for us to be people that give our lives away. It's our job. This is our responsibility. And again, I'm asking you to use wisdom. Okay? I'm asking you to not do unsafe things. I would say this, and this is more for me probably than anybody else. All right? This is a time of holding one another accountable. I would say this. Be careful how we joke about what is happening in this hour. Be careful about people are dying. Okay? This is reality. Could we talk about all the ways people are dying? We can. We can. And in my personal opinion, this is not so much about death as much as it is a global pandemic, right? Where people are freaking out on a global scale, okay? Are more people dying from influenza? Are more people dying from the flu? Are more people dying from suicide? Are more people dying from anxiety? Absolutely. And we could talk about those all day long. But But this is about something as a world, as a culture, where we're all in this together. There's something about that. There's something about we're all experiencing. All schools are hit. All sports are hit. All communities. That you're being forced to, in this opinion. And if you're a control person, this is really freaking you out, right? Right? This is a moment where it feels like everything's out of control. And he's saying, listen, in this hour, be careful what we're saying. Be careful what we're doing. Be careful how we're responding. Okay? And then last thing, we shine the light, we do not hide it. Okay? Matthew chapter 5, Jesus talking, he says, you are the light of the world. Who? You and I. The church. We are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a light and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. Here's the end goal. Okay, the end goal is I do what I do so people see Jesus. Okay, I shine a light not so people see Life Community Church, not so people see Jamie Bridges, not so people see Andrew Thompson or Sean Williamson or anybody else in this room. We shine a light. We do good deeds so people see Jesus. And listen, this is the greatest atmosphere, the greatest culture, the greatest opportunity that we have right now in this moment. Right now, this is the greatest time to be alive as the church. You're like, what? This is crazy. Yes, this is the greatest opportunity in the darkest hour to shine a light. To shine a light. If I turned the lights off right now and one candle was shining and it was right here, you would see it. And this is Jesus' point in Matthew 5. What happens if we're all shining a light? The world will see and not praise us, not praise our church, but give glory and honor to Jesus Christ. And that is the point. That is the point. Paul told the Corinthian church, we now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God. Okay, hear this. Not from ourselves. For, this is how we feel. This is how it can feel. We are pressed on every side by what? By troubles. Listen, just because something has happened globally doesn't change the fact that Fiona's in Little Rock right now, about to have surgery tomorrow. Just because globally things are happening, it doesn't mean that your marriage is all of a sudden fixed. It doesn't mean that business problems go away. It doesn't mean that there's not anxiety, there's not fear. Now all of these things are contributing on top of all of these things. He says, listen, I'm feeling pressure and I'm feeling trouble from every side. Some of you feel like that. You feel like the woman in the video where you feel like every single wall is coming from every side. He says this, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. Hear that promise today. We are perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. He says, listen, I am perplexed, right? I am perplexed right now. Some of us, I heard three or four people say today, what is happening? Like, what in all honesty is happening? To which I go, I don't know. I am perplexed. I am at a loss. I am at a loss, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. There's a lot of buts in that passage. And there's a lot of ways that you and I could focus. We could go, we are pressed on every side, we are perplexed, we are hunted down, and we get knocked down. But you cannot forget the buts in the Bible. There's some things I just can't unsay. In fact, I might even say those are the biggest buts in the Bible. And I cannot lie. Oh, man. Oh, God. That is so, so good. All right, so I want us to end today, all right, to take the last 15, 20 minutes, okay, spending time in prayer, okay? I'm going to have different people come up, and they're going to pray. And here's what I want us to pray. I'm going to pray Acts 4 with us and for us. I think it's on the screen. It may not be, though. So if you have a Bible, I just want you to turn there. To me, this is a very valuable passage. Get in your YouVersion app. Take out your Bible. I think this is very, very important. It's Acts 4. This is, to me, as me and Kelly were sitting at home on Friday morning just talking through, and she couldn't sleep the night before, and she woke up and she said, listen, there's five areas that we have to pray. And I mentioned these five areas in my video this week. And the areas are that we have faith as a church. Secondly, that we do not have fear. And that is very specific. Just because you're praying that you have faith does not mean fear goes away. You have to specifically pray, God, I will not walk in fear. We pray that there's truth. We pray for protection. And we pray for healing. Those five areas. And I'm going to send that out all week long, that every single day we're praying, God, give us faith. God, do not allow us to operate in fear. God, we pray for your truth. Where a lot of people are sharing a lot of things, God, we need to hear your truth. Okay? God, we need protection, and we also need to pray for those that are being affected and pray for healing. Okay? Acts chapter 4, verse 29. Maybe a familiar passage. Again, this is chaos and craziness that's happening. And the believers are praying right now for courage. It's the early church. Okay? It says, and now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your service, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power, and may miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After this, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they preached the word of God with boldness. This is what I'm praying today for us, that as a church, that we will be more bold than we've ever been before, that we will be people not just talking about faith, but we will be people that activate that faith, that we will be men and women that are unafraid to share the gospel in an hour where people's hearts are soft to hear the truth. Listen, there are people all around us that they are longing to hear truth. We have the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is Jesus talking. He's saying, listen, you have the truth. So the prayer is that the Holy Spirit would fill us and that we will walk in boldness, we will pray bold things, we will share the good news of the gospel, and that is the mandate on us as a church. Amen. Okay? That is us. That's what we're to do. So let's begin to pray. If you guys would stand, let's stand together. Ask Casey and Andrew and my wife and Sean to come up. Jesus, today, first and foremost, your word says that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice in that day. So God, we are choosing an act of our will to not just be physically here, but God, we are actively today choosing to praise you for who you are. And you are not just the way maker, not just the miracle worker, but you are a God that fulfills his promises. You are a God that walks with us. You are the God that is for us and not against us. And your word says, though we walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, you are with us. So whatever is happening in our culture today, whatever is happening, we join the millions of Christians that are praying right now. We call on a grace-filled, merciful God, and we said, Lord, would you restore our land? In fact, Lord, you said, if my people, so this is on us, if my people would humble ourselves, we would pray. It says that you will come down from heaven, and this is your promise, and you will restore our land. So God, this is what we're praying today. God, we humble ourselves and we say, Lord, would you restore our land? God, would you bring sanity? God, would you bring common sense? Would you bring wisdom to those that you have put in authority? God, would you give them a faith, a boldness to be as bold as lions? God, to say the hard things, to speak the truth. God, we are praying restoration in this land. And God, we are praying the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God would be advanced in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Matthew 6, verse 25. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are?
Yes, Lord.
Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all of your needs.
Yes,
seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today.
Jesus.
Lord, this morning I just want to ask for forgiveness, not as individuals, not as different political parties, but as one nation under God,
Lord.
We together, all of us,
yes,
we ask for your forgiveness for pushing you out. We've invited you out of every area of our country, every area of our leadership, of our homes, even churches. We've invited you and your spirit and your guiding out, and then we get upset when something happens and we feel like you're not close.
God,
but Lord, this morning we pray for your mercy,
yes, God,
and just your grace over us when, just like children, you told us the way, you told us how to be safe, how to act, how to be with each other, and we don't listen. And then we get confused and frustrated. And God, I just pray for your mercy and your guidance in every area of our country, not just a crazy time, not just the blatantly scary times, but God, in every area, the big, the small, we just ask for your mercy and your guidance and your grace.
Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength.
Yes, Lord.
They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint.
Thank you, Lord.
God, we pray over the church today, God, as a whole, God, globally, that we can rise up and show that we can run and not grow weary, God, that we can walk and we won't faint because we know who we trust in and we know who we're following. God, I pray as our nation comes together today in praise, God, that your light is shown through the through the world, God. Jesus, that we know, God, that you can come and heal our land, God, that you can come and heal what's going on in our world right now. So, God, I pray today as we are united as one church, God, one nation, God, that you hear our prayers, God, that you come and that you heal our land.
God.
Jesus, we thank you that we can boldly stand on who you are, God. We can boldly stand on what you say. We can boldly stand on your promises, God, because you've proven yourself time and time again. God, we know what you say is true. We know what you say that you'll do. God, so we stand on that today.
Yes, Lord.
And we cry out to you as a nation, God, not only to come and heal this sickness, God, but just come and
heal our land,
God.
Yes, God.
Jesus, we pray that we can be united today, that we can be united in one act, God.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you, Jesus, in your name.
Yes, Lord.
Words of wisdom from a man that went through a lot of years before us. He said this in Psalms 18:2. The Lord is my rock and my safe place, and the one who takes me out of trouble. My God is my rock in whom I am safe. He is my safe covering, my saving strength, and my strong tower.
Yes, God.
Hey, can we raise our hands real quick and just give Lord thanks? Come on, let me hear your voices.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we thank you so much. You are our safe place.
Thank you, Lord.
God, we have salvation, security,
power,
and who you are. And corporately, we give you glory and honor and praise this morning. God, we thank you so much for allowing us to understand, to know who you are. And we walk in faith. We trust in you. God, knowing, God, that you are going to keep us safe. Luke 1:78-79, here's an opportunity for us. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us.
Yes, Lord.
Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Come on, anybody hearing this?
Yeah.
And to guide us to the path of peace.
Yes, Lord.
Come on, there's a lot of people walking in darkness that need to be guided to the path of peace. We don't get to choose how that path gets laid out. Yes, right? Lord. But we need to be ready. Lord, we pray, use us in this work for your glory. That people might know peace, not peace, peace that they create with their own hands, but peace that you created when you sent your son Jesus Christ to this earth. So God, we pray for those that need to know the love of Jesus Christ, because your return is soon and near. Let us not be fooled, God, that you're not coming, but that you are coming.
Yes.
And let us be ready, God. Let us be ready, those, our neighbors, our friends, our loved ones, God. We, God, these next 2 weeks want to be so intentional.
Yes, God.
God, of paying attention to those around us that need peace.
Yes, Lord.
That are attempting to find it through toilet paper, hand sanitizer, staying isolated. God, we just rebuke the enemy and his work. And we don't want to be fooled, Father. We pray, open our eyes. We know, God, who our rock is. And God, we see, Lord, you returning, coming. God, we pray you bring people to you.
Yes, Lord.
It's your awesome, we pray.
Let's pray one more bold prayer. God, we pray that the numbers of those affected by the coronavirus will go down. And God, I pray that it will go the other way. And God, I pray that I pray that people will see that this is the act of God. In a culture that is canceling everything and declaring it an act of God, I know who you are. And the Bible says that you are a healing God. You are the great physician. So God, I pray the act of God, the unexplained, is that the great physician comes and he heals those that have coronavirus. And the numbers start going down. And the doctors are amazed. And the doctors might even be confused. But we know who the source is. We know who the source is. And Lord, we call on the name that act of God will cause many to come to know who Jesus is. God, we pray your healing hands over our world. Over our world. God, I pray that you'd even start in China and into Italy and into Germany and into France, into the United States, that all those that have been affected, that they would see the numbers go down and they will truly see the act of an almighty, grace-filled, merciful God in Jesus' name. Can we give the Lord a shout of praise on that? Yeah.